Be lifted. If you would, join me on the platform. Turn around and tell about three people, I'm so glad I'm in God's family. If you would, please. I'm so glad I'm in God's family. Without hesitation, the choir is joining us on the platform. We're going to worship with them tonight. Welcome to Sunday Night Church. You can be seated. Thank you. Welcome to Sunday Night Church. We believe that this is going to be a better week because you started it in God's house. How about a good amen? And I thank God for what he's doing in us, what he's doing in the church. Let's thank the Lord for four people giving their lives to Christ this morning. Let's give God thanks. Some people here for the first time, some been here for months. And yet today was the day that they just yielded and let the Holy Spirit speak to them and change their lives. And then I got a good report from Tiff, thank you, from Tiff down in Sullivan. Said, I think two people came forward to be saved this morning down in Sullivan, I think. So we're thankful for that. Got some of our friends here from Sullivan. Is Gene here? Oh, I'm sorry, Gene. I didn't know. I didn't know you had a falling out with your fellow church members over here. So I kept looking. Where's Gene? There's Mean Gene Okerlund right over there. How many remember when wrestling was real? And Mean Gene Okerlund was the manager. That's not Mean Gene. That's Lean Gene. That's not Mean Gene over there. We love you guys. I'll see you after service. Let's welcome the choir tonight. Combined Church and Faith Bible College International Choir. Let them know you appreciate their ministry.
Raise my faith a little higher. Set my spirit.
You know that it should never be a joyless Christian. Let me try that again. I said there should never be a joyless Christian. But I promise you, God's not going to force feed joy to you. But the Bible says if you hunger for the wells of joy, you shall be filled. I don't know about you, but I could use a little bit more of that joy tonight. How about you? Why don't you guys sing that again? Let's lift our hands and begin to thank God for a Holy Ghost joy, would you? God will give you something right now that won't just get you through the week. Something that will carry you till Jesus comes. Come on, let's lift our voice. Lord, fill us tonight with Holy Ghost joy. Lord, something that will change us forever in Jesus' name. Come on, sing it, sing it. Make it your prayer tonight. Now let me ask you tonight, who has the joy of the Lord here tonight? Wow, let me survey that one more time. Who has the joy of the Lord here tonight? Amen. Once you've experienced the joy of the Lord, you'll never want to live without it. Would you go, and I mean this for real, go to about six people tonight and spread a little bit of joy around here. Smile, look at them real big, and say, God's got some more for you. Thank you, choir. Great job, great job, great job. Great job. Ushers are coming while you're greeting. Amen. I got some joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Let the choir know you love them. Thank God for their ministry here tonight to inspire us, encourage us. I caught you off guard. Let's thank the choir for their ministry here to us tonight. I forgot last week. I told you I found out you're the second time people. I got to do it the second time before I get it. So that was your second time. So things haven't changed in a week, but who knows? Maybe they will for next week. Let's get our offerings together. Get ready to give to the Lord tonight. Yeah, honey, I'll take that. We have not talked about it at length today, but over the past few weeks, we've been talking to you about these Project 19 cards. If you're interested in partnering with us financially for our missions, we've been pushing that for several weeks, then tonight would be a great night to put that in the offering when that goes by. And if you have already committed with Project 18 and you're saying, I want to continue what I'm doing with Project 19, then we still need you to fill out one of those cards, because we can't assume that, because we simply don't know that. But if you would do that, that would be a tremendous help to us as we're spreading out our influence and the message of Christ to not only the state of Maine, but all around the world. And we thank God that He's helping us, giving us opportunity, opening doors for us to preach the gospel. Do you understand tonight? The gospel must be preached. God's not sending angels to do the work. He's sending us to do the work. We are the people that He has to work with. And so not only with us as a people, but with the Bible College as well. And what a great privilege. Isn't it neat that God would raise up a church right here in the middle of the great city of Charleston and give us so many open doors to do that? And I don't believe that God opens doors for people that will waste them. He opens doors for people that He knows will maximize the moment. And so we're thankful that we get to do that. I'm grateful to give tonight. I'm glad about it. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I feel like it's a privilege to be a part of what God's doing. And if you were here Wednesday night, you heard it. But if you weren't, in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the scripture goes to tell us that God puts seed in the hands of sowers. So He knows if you have an intention to give, He's going to put something in your hand. And if you don't have an intention to give, God says, well, I don't give seed to sowers. But if He finds a person with an intention to give, He gives them something to give. However, not only does He give that, but the scripture promises once that it's given, He has oversight of what you've given, and He'll make sure that it performs exactly why He gave it to you in the first place. So I'm excited tonight because I get to give something, but it's not ending in a bucket. It's not ending in a bucket. It's ending up in souls. And so we thank God for the opportunities. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for so many promises that You would use us, that You would supply enough for the kingdom to grow. And tonight we're seeing that happen in a powerful way. Take our gifts that You've given to us, and as they leave our hands, they go into Your harvest. We believe lives are touched, families are healed, people are saved, bodies are restored, ministries are built. We give You thanks for all of this in advance. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen and amen. God bless you tonight as you give. It's good to have the Faith Trio with us tonight. Dr. Bell travels all over the place throughout the two semesters and sometimes through the summer with the group, but this is the Faith Trio that they travel with him, and they are our Indian Trio. Our Indian Trio. Welcome, Faith Trio, tonight as they minister in song.
Praise God. The song that we're going to sing is called Morning's Coming. And the song goes like this. Whatever circumstances that you might be going through, whatever situation that you'll be going through, doesn't matter. We just have to hold on to Him. No darkness, no kingdom of darkness, no kingdom of fear will stand against you. When you hold on to Him, when you hold on to the Creator, He will not let you go. So let's just sing this song. God help us out, okay? Praise God. The closer I get to God, it seems the more I praise. Circumstances always seem to get right in my way. But in my hour of desperation, He's always by my side. If I keep my eyes on Him, I can overcome the night. Morning's coming, just inside. Every fear and doubt will surround you like. Morning's coming, hold on tight. If you just trust in Him, you'll make it through the night. Morning's coming, whoa, whoa. If you're facing the trial like you've never faced before, and you feel like you just can't take it anymore, just remember that He wants a lot more than you can bear. You're not alone, you're at the dining game, just unaware. Morning's coming, just inside. Every fear and doubt will surround you the light. Morning's coming, hold on tight. If you just trust in Him, you'll make it to the night. Morning's coming, just inside. Every fear and doubt will surround to the light. Morning's coming, hold on tight. If you just trust in Him, you'll make it to the night. Morning's coming, whoa, whoa. Morning's coming, whoa, whoa. When you get discouraged and the night seems so long, remember the dying star just before the dawn. every fear and doubt will surround you. The light, money's coming. Hold on tight. If you just trust in Him, you'll make it through the night. Money's coming, just inside. Every fear and doubt will surrender to the light. Money's coming, hold on tight. If you just trust in Him, you'll make it through the night. Money's coming, whoa, whoa. Money's coming, whoa, whoa. Praise God, money's coming.
Great job, great, great job. Well, we love Faith Bible College International. It's been a great, you know, these folks moved here in the mid-70s. How many of you remember those days? I remember, not the mid-70s, but remember when they came here in the mid-70s. Yeah, some of you do. Dr. Peer came up here from Southern Maine, and God had opened a door at the Higgins Classical Institute. They said, if you'll take over the $30,000 mortgage, you can have the entire facility. And we've got an entire campus with, I think, Dr. Bell, nearly 20 acres there. And so we're so grateful for what God has done for the college. And would you pray with me? I haven't talked to you about it. I try to keep things a bit separated here. I'll take that podium. But we have this opportunity. If we can raise $1 million by the end of this year, we will receive another $1 million. I don't know if you heard that right. I said $1 million. So we're under 300 right now. And so would you pray that God will just speak immediately to somebody or somebody's? Really, I mean, 700 people to give $1,000 is not that big a deal compared to all the connections that the college has. But that usually doesn't come from tightwads. So we've got to have access to people that want to give and have a desire to give. And so how many of you would just, as the Holy Spirit reminds you, to pray, Lord, just speak to some people to just let a miracle happen up there at that Bible college. I appreciate both of you doing that. I forgot you're a second time people. How many of you will pray that God will just ask, that God will just provide a way? See, it never fails. It's the second time. I'm going to preach all my sermons twice from now on. I know it seems like I do now, but look, tonight, we have this is one of the funnest Sunday nights of the year. We have five or six of them, and they're all Sunday nights are great, but there's five or six that just really stand out in my memory, and tonight is one of them. We do five for five. It's five for five. And so we take five of our preachers. Obviously, we've got many more than that, but we pick five. And we probably should do it more often, every semester, maybe twice a semester. But we'll see. It all depends on how it goes tonight. Now, look, everybody deserves a chance. I remember when I first started preaching, the people here were so gracious, but it was horrific. I didn't have much to say. I was loud, but that was about it. But these guys are not, they're content, they're driven, they're anointed, they're passionate. And would you, as if they were your sons or your daughter, would you, as they preach and you hear something that blesses you, would you be a part of their ministry in the making? Say a good amen. That's good. Clap your hands. Not now. No, no. You missed the whole point. When they do it, that's when you do it. And be a blessing. Don't be a stooge. Don't be a Scrooge. Don't sit there and stare at them. If you're going to sleep, leave. I can sleep. I can preach through your sleep, and I've been doing it for decades. But don't sleep through them. Encourage them, because they're going to preach the gospel all over the world, all over the United States and Canada and in India. So we want these guys to be encouraged, and I know that you will be. You're a great group to preach to, but I want everybody to be a part of it tonight. And so I'm going to kind of give to you the order. When you come up, you read your text, and then I hit the button, the holy button. And when you get to 4 minutes, I'm going to raise my hand. When you get to 5 minutes, I'm going to raise both my hands. When you get to 6 minutes, I'm going to use the restroom. All right, I'm just teasing. I'm not worried about it at all, okay? But we have, first of all, and I'll give you the order. Rinku, are you going first? Hey, amen. It takes a good woman to lead the way. Rinku and then her husband Stephen from India will be preaching first. And then Alex from Jersey. The Jersey boy is going to be here preaching tonight. And then Ethan from Maine. He's the main man right there. And all the way from Maryland, Spencer Hobaker. I call him the Tomb Raider. That's a story for another day. He's the Tomb Raider. He's powerful. I want to give a warm welcome to Rinku as she comes. Rinku Johnson.
Praise the Lord. So he already introduced. My name is Rinku Stephen Johnson. I'm still practicing that. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord. It's an honor and privilege to stand here. So the title of my sermon is, It Could Happen Now. For that, turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. That is Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. In 1904, all Wales was aflame. The nation had drifted far from God. The spiritual conditions were low indeed. Church attendance was poor, and sin abounded on every side. Suddenly, like an unexpected tornado, the Spirit of God swept over the land. The churches were crowded. And because of that, multitudes were unable to get in. In 5 weeks, 20,000 joined the church. Evan Roberts was a human instrument for this revival. A.W. Tozer said, God is looking for the people through whom he can do the impossible. When I was praying for the Charleston church, he said, God is looking for Charleston church to use for revival. Church, you are going to be a part of great awakening, which is going to happen to this nation. Say amen. A revived church is the only hope for a dying world. We need a revival in our nation. We need revival in our church so that, number one, we need to pray. Prayer is an essential ingredient in the mystery of revival. Moses prayed, God forgive the sins of Israelites. Elijah prayed, fire came down from the heaven. Esther prayed, a nation delivered. Daniel prayed, God shut the mouth of lion. Habakkuk prayed because there was revival was desperately needed. John Knox, the man who used by the Lord to bring many people to faith in Jesus in Scotland, he prayed as Moses prayed, great God, give me Scotland or I may die. His burden was so great for the people that he would rather have died or them go to the hell. How many of you can pray in this way for this generation? Let us determine that we will pray for revival. Pray in your homes. Pray in your altar, in your workplace, at your prayer room. Let us determine that we will take an opportunity to pray on all the time. For the mighty revival, we need the presence of God. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, Isaiah saw the throne of God and he confessed the sin. The great Charles Stefani, the leader of Second Great Awakening, had decided he must settle the question of his salvation. He headed into the woods with a determination. He met Jesus there and transformed as Paul the Apostle. Church, we need the presence of Jesus Christ. Wherever Jesus went, people gathered in multitudes. Crowd received miracles and wonders. We are going to have that. We are going to experience the mighty presence of God. As I see that in my vision, Charleston Church is going to experience the mighty presence of God. People are going to come from different parts of this nation to our church. The third one, for a mighty revival, we need the word of God. In 1734 in Northampton, Massachusetts, Jonathan Edwards was preaching his famous sermon on judgment of God. In a single service, 500 repented their sin and sought God. In a short time, nearly 1/6 of nation's population was won to Christ. The churches were filled with devout worshippers, and revival made impact on the social life of early America. When Jonah preached his message on doom and destruction, the people from Nineveh, from the king to the down, began to seek the Lord. When they did, God moved his powerful way, and they see a revival. If God could bring a revival in Nineveh with Jonah, in early America with Jonathan Edwards, in Scotland with John Knox, in Wales with Evan Roberts, God can use you and me to bring a revival in Charleston, Maine. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Say amen. If God is going to bring revival in Charleston, Maine. For that, pray to God. Be in His presence. Spread the word of God. The revival could happen now, right here. May the God bless you.
The pressure is on me now. Woohoo! I feel that. Woo. I'm trying to bring revival now. I just want to say I'm so proud of you, Ringu, and I respect you for who you are and how God is raising you as a woman of God. And I cannot wait to see what God is, how God is going to use us as a family to impact this nation. Amen. Amen, church. Give it up for her one more time. Let's go. Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. My name is Stephen Johnson. And today I'm going to talk about, my title for my sermon is Get Connected to God. For that, please turn your Bibles to James chapter 4, verse 8. That is James chapter 4, verse 8. It reads like this. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. It reads like this. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. We always, in our lives, we make commitments. We make promises. We take new resolutions. And I don't know how many of you can boldly say that you have fulfilled that commitments in your life. I haven't. Why? Because we start to replace our commitments. We start to replace our promises. We start to replace what we first committed for the things that came in our lives as we thought it was good for us. We forget that we have committed. We start off good. We start off good by saying, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend more time with God. I'm going to read the Bible throughout this year. We start off good, but only few people answer well. Why? Because we start replacing God with what we think that it's good for our health and for us. We start replacing God with more sleep. We start replacing God with more time hanging out with friends. We start replacing God with more time spending in social media. We start replacing God with more time hanging out with boyfriends and girlfriends. Why? Because we are not connected with the source. We always have to know that God is our source. God is our restoration power. Only God can restore our life. For that, we gotta kneel down. We gotta have the secret place in our life where we go. We say that, Lord, here I am. Use me, God. Use me. However you want me to go. However you want me to go, Lord God, use me so that I can be an useful instrument for God. We have to have a secret place in our life, church. Without that, we cannot have a fruitful life. Without spending time with God, we cannot hear His voice. We cannot be fruitful for Him. We think we got it all. We think that we got it all. We think that the world can offer us more pleasure than God. But I'm telling you, the best answer is God is good all the time. If you get connected to the source, if you think that, if you know that the who your source is, if you know that who you are, God is, I'm telling you tonight, you will have all the resources that you want. You will never lack anything. If you cannot spend time with God now, who will bring the revival to the nation? If you don't spend time with God, now who will set the captives free? Now if you don't spend time with God, who will bring the light to the darkness? Church, it's our responsibility today. It's our responsibility to stand for the people, to stand for the nation, to stand for the hurt people, to stand for the people who are burdened with many things in this life. World will offer a lot. World will offer a lot for us, but it's our responsibility to know whom we are connected to. It's our responsibility to know that we need to get that connection to the other people in this world. We don't have to be selfish. But God didn't create us to have our own life. But God created us so that we can have a fellowship with Him. So we can have that connection with Him where we go into that secret place every day. And receive that power to impact the nation. Not only your time is important, but your availability to God is important as well. It's the best example I can give you is Jesus. He had a set divine appointments with God, with His Father. Before He started off His ministry, he set a time. He set a place where He went and preached, where he saw Jesus, He saw God face to face. And wherever He went, there was breakthrough happening. Wherever He went, there was miracle following Him. Why? Because He was available. He said, Lord Father, let Your will be done in my life. Here I am. I'm available. Your availability to God brings breakthrough in your life. Your availability to God brings healing upon your life. Your availability to God brings set the captives free. Your availability to God brings the light to the darkness. I want to ask you, how many of you are available tonight? You cannot spend more time preaching and teaching the Word of God if you're not available and spending more time with God. It's important that you set a time for yourself in your prayer closet where you say, Lord, here I am. It's not what the world can offer me, but I'm going to connect with You. And being available for God to use you is a more important thing in our lives. Getting connected with God will help us rebuild our minds and renew our hearts. And being available for God will rebuild the relationship and understand the purpose to which we are created for. I want to leave you with this question, church. What is that one thing in your life that is hindering to come close to God? God bless you.
Good evening, everybody. So as I was introduced, I am Alex G. from Jersey. Yes, I come from New Jersey, and I am proud of it. I love it there. It's great. It's small. Everything's close. I don't need to go 45 minutes to get to Walmart or anything. My church is a mile away, and so is my school, so is my job, so is everything within walking distance. That's what I like. I am here now. So, today I'm going to be talking on the body. It's more specifically, the body of Christ. If you're looking for a text, you can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. As I'm going into this, like I said, I'm going to be focusing on the body of Christ and how important it is that we each have our own job. We are each a part of the body of Christ. I'll get into that a little bit more. Now, reading the text, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. The body is formed of many different parts and people. The body of Christ is all of us. I'm going to do a little breakdown for you just to give a little example. So first, let's start with the legs and feet, right? The feet keep us firm. When we are standing on the edge of something, they help me stand there. They help me keep my balance. There are people that are like feet. There are people that help us stand firm and keep us where we need to be. Then there's people that are legs. Legs help me move around, and they work, leg and foot, to keep us going forward. They move us, and they keep us going. The people that are like legs bring us places. They can bring us to a mission field, bring us to some other goal and some other people, some purpose. That's the legs. Now, break it down a little more, the arms and hands. The hands are able to grab things, hold on to things, clasp things. This is the kind of person that is able to take something, take some information, take some knowledge and pass it on to somebody else. Take some food and pass it on to somebody else. Take anything and pass it on to somebody else. They grab things and release it to somebody else. The arms enable them because they allow us to reach out. They allow us to reach out to the people. So just like the legs where they're moving us, we have the arms that are reaching out, enabling the hands to grab onto something and reach out further to hand something to someone else. Moving on a little bit further, the head and the brain. Now the head has four senses. Four of your five senses are all up here. You have your hearing, you have your sight, you have your smell, you have your taste. This is the sense receiver. We are able to take in all this information from our head. There are people like that that are able to gather information, see a need. Oh, there's a need over there. Oh, I heard about this thing over here. Oh, it smells like something's going on over here. I don't know if you want to taste a problem, but sometimes, depending on who's cooking, there could be a problem. We don't have that problem at school, I promise you. I can guarantee it. But then there's the brain. The kind of people that take in all this information. They see, they sense all the information that the head's giving them, and then they dish it out. They're able to hand it out. They're able to tell the brain, or the brain tells the senses, oh, I see that. Okay, how about I get a leg and move? How about I get a foot to stand still? How about I get the arm to reach out and hand them something? The brain, my brain tells me right now, to walk down these stairs, to move forward, to head over to Ethan. Slap him in the face. You see, that is my brain telling me what to do and controlling my body. I love him. He knows it. He saw it coming. But then there's one more important part of the body that I haven't mentioned yet. It's the heart. Now, the heart is bringing the blood and pumping the blood everywhere. It's through the body, right? We all know what a heart does. But the heart of the body of Christ is Christ. The heart of our body, us collectively, is Christ. If we are losing, if we are not connected to Christ the way we need to be, then we're not able to reach out. We don't have the strength. We grow limp and weak. We aren't able to stand firm. We aren't able to move from one place to another. We're not able to reach out, not able to grab onto anything. We're not able to think clearly or enable others to do things, not able to receive what we need to receive. If we have a blood problem and aren't keeping Jesus in the center, if we don't focus on Jesus in the center of our lives to give us the blood flow and the proper blood flow we need, we will fail as a body. You can't just hop on one foot to go help somebody. You can't crawl your way over to help somebody. You won't be as effective. Sure, you can do that, and there are people that are able to do that. But you're not as effective if you're a full body. Thank you very much.
Awkward silence, okay. My name is Ethan Salaveria. I come from the very far town of Kanduskeag, Maine. You've probably seen me around, mainly over there in the corner with the organ. It's an incredible honor to be standing on this platform. Just watching Pastor Ward over the years, he makes it look so incredibly easy. And now I'm here, I'm like, oh gosh, it's not that easy, is it? If you want to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you can turn your paper Bibles. I'm using what Pastor calls an eye scroll. Okay, that was a great joke. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in verse 15, the word says, "Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." Today, I've entitled my thoughts, Victory in Jesus. Now, victory is for everyone. Yes? Some people say, oh, I don't know, Ethan. I'm really having a hard time. I'm really struggling with this. The Bible is truth. Yes? It's reality and relevant for today. Yes? Well, the Bible says the victory belongs to us. The Bible is practical, so I make it a real practical. I'm flesh and blood. It's not just for pastors or Bible college students. I'm flesh and blood and fat, too. So, praise God. So we'll make it real practical tonight. Victory belongs to us. The 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to read a lot of scripture. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it out. 1 John chapter 5 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" We can speak to the mountains in our lives. Things will come in our path. Things will come as an opposition. And we may begin to start thinking, oh, well, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Jesus, you really just got to help me climb this mountain. No, he said, speak to the mountain in faith, unwavering, and it has to move. Praise God. Now, we can compromise our victory, though, very easily. The devil is trying to do everything he can to creep into our theology. I was listening to the radio on my Pandora or something the other day, and I heard this song by Shane and Shane. It's called "Though You Slay Me." Now, it's going to get real spiritual here. "Though you slay me, yet I will praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. Though you ruin me, still I will worship." Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands real quick? What kind of twisted theology is that? I remember reading in John 10, verse 10, that Jesus comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? No. It says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus, I have come to give you life and life abundantly. Come on. Now, devil's going to try and do everything he can to convince you. And if he can convince you that what you're going through is God trying to do it to you and not him, you'll never reject another work of the devil in your life. That's a hard truth. Whew. We can compromise our victory with our words. Time and again, we've quoted Proverbs 18:21, "The death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit." If we begin to speak and believe our experiences, which are contrary to the word of God, and we don't stand on the truth of the word, we're going to be shaken, and we're going to begin to believe, oh, I guess, you know, this is just how it's going to be. I guess I'm going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life. No. We refuse to open ourselves up to defeat. So how do we maintain victory, Ethan? You make it sound so easy, like, you know, it's you got to be at this tier in Christianity. I'm only down here. No. No, no. It's for the new believer and the old believer alike. We need to put on the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Because our fight isn't against flesh and blood. It's against every work of the enemy. And it's an easy fight too, because we have the victory. And we have to guard our mouths. James chapter 3 says, and the tongue is a fire and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. And if we're not careful with what we say and what we speak into our lives, that was my best flame impression. It's a pretty big statement right there, though. Honestly, if you speak death, if you speak the curse over your life, it's going to begin to manifest itself. But if you begin to speak, no, devil, I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to take sickness, disease, poverty, infirmities, depression, anxiety, addiction, any form of condemnation. I'm not taking it, devil. I'm not going to take it anymore. I have the victory in Jesus. And in everything that we face, we test it by the word and by the spirit. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that everything that sets itself up against God, we take it down. We bring down every stronghold. We make it subject to Christ. Somebody says, well, you know, this is just the way that God works. No, that violates his word and his character. That's not true. I'm going to refuse that, thank you. I'm going to receive victory. Well, Ethan, you don't get it. He's really putting this sickness on me so I can learn a lesson. No, he wants you to test your faith and speak to it and get it out of you in Jesus' name. We have to refuse everything. Every thought must be made subject to Christ, who is the Word of God. I'm going to leave you with this. We are more than conquerors. We read it time and time again, but what is more than a conqueror? The conqueror eliminates every opposition, and we just receive the benefit. The devil is God's footstool, and we are seated with him. So why don't you prop your feet up and let your words declare your victory? Thank you.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good to be in church, amen?
Yeah.
Amen. My name is Spencer Hallbaker. I'm from Hancock, Maryland. It's an honor to be here tonight, and I'm extremely grateful to be able to share the Word of God with you tonight. The title of my sermon is, Here Am I, Send Me. My text comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Verses 5 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. This is essentially a foreshadowing of how things would work in the New Testament once Jesus came, died for our sins, and resurrected. In this portion of Scripture, we see God cleansing Isaiah. We see God calling Isaiah. And through Isaiah's willingness and obedience, we see God sending Isaiah. I want you to know tonight that you might not be a prophet like Isaiah, but through the work of Jesus Christ, His death on the cross and resurrection, He has cleansed you tonight. He is calling you tonight, and He has sent you tonight. Jesus has cleansed you. Isaiah knew God. We all know that, right? He knew God. He communicated with God. He loved God. But God could not use him to his fullest until he helped Isaiah realize he was cleansed of his iniquity. Some of you here tonight, you know God. Some of you here tonight, you love God, you want to serve God, but you're still holding on to guilt from the past that no longer belongs to you. No longer belongs to you. Jesus Christ did not come and die so that a few of your sins could be taken away. He came and he died for every single act. Every single act you will ever commit or have committed. He came to pay for it all. For it all. None of that is said tonight to make light of sin. But some of you tonight need to realize that Jesus Christ has already forgiven you. Now you need to forgive yourself. Jesus has cleansed you. Jesus is calling you. Some of you here tonight are coming to church once or twice a week, and that is the extent of your relationship with God. That's the extent of it. Works have nothing to do with your salvation. Nothing at all. But God has given each and every one of you gifts and abilities to use for His kingdom. To use for His kingdom. Maybe you're satisfied with where you're at in life, but I've come to tell somebody tonight that Jesus has a call on your life. He has a call on your life. Maybe you need to go to Bible college. I know a good one up the road, not too far away. Maybe you need to get connected with a ministry here in the church. Maybe you just need to help the neighbor out next door get wood cut and stacked for the winter. I don't know what it is, but he has a call on your life. A call on your life. I don't know what it is exactly, but just as Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying to him, "Who will I send? Who will go for us?" That same God, hallelujah, I said that same God, he's here today, and he's asking each and every one of you in this building, he's saying, "Whom will I send? Who will go for us?" Maybe Jesus has already been calling you, or maybe you're feeling that tug on your heart from the Holy Spirit for the very first time to do something for his kingdom. Whatever it is, I pray you answer tonight by saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Third and last thing this evening, Jesus Christ is sending you. This isn't so much about the fact that you're being sent, but it's more about the fact of who is sending you. Some of you here tonight have been sent by Jesus to do his work, but you're gripped with fear because you've forgotten who it is that sent you. You've forgotten. Some of you need to witness to a coworker, but you're too scared. Remember who is sending you. Some of you tonight need to use your gifts and abilities for the kingdom of God, but you let doubt and worry come into your life. Remember who is sending you. Remember. Some of you here tonight are already in the ministry. You have been serving God. You've been in it, but you've let fear and doubt come into your life, and things have begun to overwhelm you, and you feel like you want to stop. Remember who sent you tonight. Remember who sent you. Whenever you feel the Holy Spirit speaking into your life to do something, often our flesh will react first and want to say no. When I was asked to preach here tonight, I was honored, but I was fearful at first as well. Fearful. Until I reminded myself that I'm not sent. I said, I'm not sent to do kingdom ministry by any man, but I'm sent by Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. When you remember who has sent you, nothing can stop you. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can stand against? Who can stand against? In conclusion tonight, Jesus has cleansed you. Jesus is calling you. And Jesus is sending you. God bless you.
Great job.
Wow. Why does that go by so fast? I preach the exact same time, and it just seems like it goes on and on. Wow.
Dr. Bell, great job on preparing these guys. We appreciate it.
Was that good or what? I like pick five more and just do it again, but we're better off to leave the people wanting more than saying they had too much. But you guys did a great job. I'm so proud of you. That's really something. I'm just set back, man. I don't know if you've ever tried to preach for 5 minutes, but that alone is not very easy. And then go up on this platform, and it would be easier if the place was packed, actually. And then to do that, and then follow. Just a great job. I'm so proud of you. And I'm proud of all you guys. We got more than five preachers here. We got all kinds of them, dozens and dozens of preachers. So with this idea, well, you don't need preaching anymore, is just not true. We need good gospel preaching. Amen. Great job. Thanks for being encouragement. I just could sense your support. And I feel like I've been fed. I'm not here to cheerlead. I've been fed tonight. Thank God for that.